hidden Christmas, and that the gospel is hidden in Christmas. And so, Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can be in this place together. And we do pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, just turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. If not, I'll just read you quickly the scripture. I'm not going to preach for long. We should finish around 10. So you can go home and start eating. Matthew chapter 2, it's wonderful to just come to God's word this morning as we approach this Christmas time. So Matthew chapter 2, just two verses. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'" The wise men came. I don't think there were three wise men. It's just that they gave three different types of gifts. There might have been a number of wise men, but the story is telling us that they came to worship Jesus as king. And so last week we were looking at the gospel, the light of the gospel that has come to us in Christ. And this morning we want to look at Jesus as king, because what we've been saying over these last few weeks is that the gospel is really hidden in Christmas. And there are many parts of Christmas that reflect the gospel. They kind of show us the good news that God has sent his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we have Christmas lights that speak about the light of the gospel that has come. We look out for the poor and needy at Christmas time, which shows us that Jesus came as a poor, into a poor family. And we also have gifts, which we open at Christmas time, which also symbolizes the fact that Jesus has been sent as the greatest gift of all. But we also sing songs about our King that has come. And Christmas carols are really religious songs that were popularized after the Reformation. They began to sing these songs, and many of them are about Christ the King. We sang some of them on Sunday evening and this morning. "Hark, the herald angels sing." This was penned by John Wesley. "Glory to the newborn King. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild." Glory to the newborn King. And what about "Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let the earth receive her King." That was composed by Handel. And another one we know so well. "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels." So we have these songs about Jesus being our King. And people celebrate Christmas, but sometimes they're not aware of what they're celebrating. But we know that through the story of Christmas, the lights and the gifts and the candles and the Christmas carols, there's a message, there's a story there that a King has come. He's come to this earth. He's come to bring salvation to us. He's come to die upon a cross. He's come to be raised from the dead. And his name is Jesus. And he's really our King. He's not just our Savior. He's our King. And so we're very privileged to live in this gospel age when we know these things and we can rejoice in these things. And so my first point is this, that Jesus as King is part of the Christmas story. He is our King. But it's hidden. The gospel is hidden in Christmas, so you may not see it. And Jesus appeared firstly as a vulnerable baby, we were saying last week. He came as a baby, and not many people recognized him as a baby. It was just a few shepherds in the field. It was some wise men from the east. They were really magicians. They studied the stars, and they said, we noticed the star rose. And it was unusual, and it's a sign that something unusual is happening in the earth. It heralds the birth of a new king. And they came to Jerusalem looking for this king to come and worship him. And it was also two old people in the temple, Anna and Simeon, that saw this little baby and picked him up in their arms. And they said, "This is the hope of Israel, that the king has come." And many others didn't see it, but they saw it even when he came as a baby. Imagine looking at a baby and saying, "This is the king of Israel. This is the hope of the nations." That takes faith. That takes eyes being opened. And so Jesus came first of all as a baby, but it was hidden. He came then next as a man. Jesus lived amongst us as a man. If Jesus had been sitting here this morning, you would not have noticed him as Jesus. He didn't have a halo and he didn't glow and he didn't hover above the ground. He looked very ordinary. The Bible says there was no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. And the religious leaders of the day and the politicians didn't recognize Jesus for who he was. All they saw was a carpenter that had become a full-time preacher. Even his own family were confused about who he was. And at one stage they went to kind of sort him out. They said, you're not eating enough and looking after yourself. And they came to sort him out. And some of them only believed in him after the resurrection. It's only when he appeared after the resurrection that they looked and said, my goodness, you're our brother in the flesh, but you're actually the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They saw him in that way. And even in Gethsemane, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas was betraying him, he said to the soldiers, listen, you won't know which one was Jesus. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go amongst the disciples and I'm going to kiss the guy that's Jesus. And the one I kiss, he's the one. He's the one. And so Jesus looked very ordinary. A lot of the pictures and the paintings that were painted of Jesus, they don't tell the full story. Jesus came as a man. And even on the cross, when he died upon the cross, most of the cross, as we've said before, happened in darkness. Darkness came over the whole land from 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock. It was a supernatural darkness as God was judging the sin of the world. The darkness was a sign of judgment. And so even people that were standing at the cross looking at Jesus, they looked, but they didn't see. And they heard what he was saying, but they didn't understand. Because it takes faith to see in the darkness. It's only faith that can open the eyes of unbelief. And Pilate, the Roman governor, Jesus was standing in front of him and he was interrogating. He didn't know who Jesus was. He got increasingly afraid. And even his wife said, listen, you better be careful. There's something different about him. But they didn't see him for who he was. His glory was veiled. His kingship was hidden. Even the religious leaders who knew the Torah and the Old Testament forwards and backwards, they didn't know that before them stood the Lamb of God who was taking away the sins of the world. Jesus died at the exact same time as all the Passover lambs were being sacrificed in preparation for Passover. As they were being sacrificed, Jesus was on Golgotha's hill being sacrificed as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And people didn't make that connection. They didn't tie the two things together. Martin Luther says, in as Jesus coming as a baby and as a man and dying on the cross, they the masks or the clothes that God kind of wears to hide himself in Christ, that we can't say we found him on our own, but only God can reveal Jesus to us because he's hidden and God needs to reveal him. And friends, I love talking about the hiddenness of God, that he's hidden that he may be revealed. He's hidden as a baby, God in the flesh. He's hidden as a man. It's covered that God may uncover him for us. I pray this morning, if you don't know who Christ is, your eyes may be opened, that he may be uncovered for you this morning, that you may see him for who he really is at this Christmas time. What a tremendous Christmas gift that will be, wouldn't it? You go out of here thinking, I've had the best Christmas of my life. I've met Christ. My eyes have been opened. Not these eyes, but the eyes of your heart are open to see who Jesus is. In Matthew chapter 13, it says, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. For many prophets and righteous people long to see and hear what you see and hear, but they didn't. And friends, we're living in this gospel age where Christ has come. Our King has come and he's revealed himself to us. Hallelujah. But he hasn't just come as a baby. He hasn't just come as a man, but he also was the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. Can you say amen? In John chapter 18, I just want to read you a little bit of the account this morning. In John chapter 18, and John emphasizes the trial of Jesus a lot. And here he is before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate says to him, so you are a king then? And Jesus said, you say I'm a king. And for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and a purple robe. And they began to strike him with their hands. And Pilate brought him out again, before the people. And he said to them, basically, what must I do with Jesus? Behold your king. Behold your king. And they said to us, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. And when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down at the judgment seat. And it was the day of the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. Behold your king. And they said, away with him. Crucify him. And Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? And they said, crucify him, crucify him. And so Pilate had Jesus flogged and crucified. And they made a sign above Jesus' head upon the cross. And the sign was in Aramaic. And the sign was in Latin. And the sign was in Greek. And it read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And so friends, even Jesus' kingship was hidden. It was hidden from the Romans. It was hidden from the religious leaders. It was hidden from the people at that time. It was hidden from them. He was right in front of them, but they couldn't see it. We need our eyes open to see that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tim Keller says this, and he's written a book on Hidden Christmas. Pinched a few of his points. He says this, Jesus didn't behave like the king, like a king in the world expects. He didn't have any academic credentials. He had no social status. But God habitually operates in an opposite way. Throughout the Bible, God brings his message not through the powerful Egyptians or the Babylonians or the Romans, but through the Jews, a small despised nation in the Middle East. In ancient times, God defeated Goliath, not with a bigger giant, but with a shepherd boy. That's the way God works. In ancient times, when the older son always got the wealth and the second or younger sons had nothing, no social status, how does God work? Through Abel, not Cain. Through Isaac, not Ishmael. Through Jacob, not Esau. Through David, not his older brothers. And at the time where women were valued for their beauty and fertility, God chooses old Sarah, not young Hagar. He chooses Leah, not Rachel. Unattractive Leah, whom Jacob doesn't love. God chooses her. He chooses Rebecca, who can't have children. Hannah, who can't have children. Samson's mother, who can't have children. Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, who can't have children. Why? Because over and over again, God says, I will choose the girl and the boy that nobody wants. I will choose them. I will choose the boy that everyone has forgotten. Why? Is it because God likes underdogs? No. He's telling us something about salvation itself. He's telling us something about who he is. Every other religion and every other moral philosophy appeals to the strong. It appeals to people who can pull it together. Get your act together. Only Jesus says, I have come for the weak. You weak? You feeling weak this morning? Jesus is for you. You can't get your act together sometimes? I've got good news for you. Jesus will help you. Jesus says, I will save them not through what they do, but through what I do. Friends, this is the gospel. At the climax of his life, Jesus didn't ascend a throne, but he died upon a cross. Died upon a cross. And so the gospel is not what you have to do, it's what he's already done. Hallelujah. It's what he's already done for you. And Jesus died upon a cross on Golgotha's hill along with criminals on the garbage dump of society. And the rest of them turned away and they went home to celebrate the Passover where the Lamb of God was dying to take away the sins of the world. And they couldn't see it and they didn't know it because it takes an act of God to open your eyes. And so friends, as I come to a close this Christmas morning, where is Jesus now? What is he doing now? Well, a few days after dying upon the cross, paying for our sins, he took your place. He died in your place so that you could be forgiven and experience eternal life. He died and rose again. And a few days after this, Jesus did enter into his kingdom. In about 36 hours after the crucifixion, Jesus ascended into heaven. He was wearing royal robes. He would be riding into heaven on the clouds. seen by angels and received into glory. And what's he doing now? He's ruling and he's reigning now. That's what he's doing. He's ruling over the nations. He's poured out his spirit upon the church. And his kingdom is being extended throughout all the world. His gospel is growing. More and more people are joining God's kingdom because he will rule and reign. Charles Spurgeon said, Jesus will have more people in heaven than the devil will have in hell. I like that, don't you? If he's the king. And how do we know that? We know that because you're sitting here this morning. Why are you sitting here? You're sitting here this morning because Jesus has become your king and my king as well. And friends, one day he will return in glory. Right now his rule is hidden, but one day it will be visible. It says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, he'll come with the clouds. Remember last week we had that storm in Maritzburg? Remember it? And I was at my house and I just saw the clouds coming over and they were black and they were rolling and they were, and Shannon was in town and she was driving around trying to find somewhere to park her car. And I was doing some heavy duty praying for my wife as that storm came over. And friends, the Bible tells us that one day Jesus will, the trumpet will sound and Jesus will come upon the clouds. The clouds will gather and the angels will gather and we'll see Jesus finally as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It'll be dazzling. It'll be spectacular. It'll be awesome. It'll be both wonderful and fearful. It'll be a global event as Jesus returns. And so I say to you this morning, are you able to see Jesus this Christmas in that way? Not just as a baby, not just as a man. Often we identify on the horizontal with those things. We say, well, he feels what I feel. He understands what I'm going through. But can you see Jesus as king? Do you have a vertical view? Can you expand your vision and see that he's King of Kings? If you can, that leaves us with both a comfort and a challenge. Here's my Christmas comfort for us this morning. If he is your king, and if you make him your king, that means he can work in your life. He can do anything for you. He can do anything for you. He can remove every obstacle. He has all power to move powerfully in your life, making all things work together for the good. He has kingly power to do that. He can just speak the word and things will happen. It really is like that. And that gives us comfort that Jesus is our king, ruling and reigning. But secondly, there's also a challenge. If he is the king, are you willing to obey anything he tells you to do? As we stand on the threshold of another year of 2019, as you go into 2019, will you say just two words as you go into next year? Yes, Lord. 2019, yes, Lord. Whatever you say, Lord, whatever you put in front of me, Lord, I will follow you as my king, not just my savior. Because you see, the Christian life is really not a negotiation, but it's a surrender to Jesus. He has to conquer you to really use you. That's what kings do. Don't kings conquer people? And when you let him conquer you, you actually discover he's a loving king. And you say, ooh, that was, I love being conquered. I love the fact that you're my king because you love me and you care for me and you're a wise king and you're all powerful and all sovereign. And so this morning, as we look at his kingship, it's both a comfort. Maybe you're struggling with something this morning. Maybe you're looking at the year ahead and you think, my goodness, I don't know what next year holds. Be comforted that Jesus is the king. He can move every piece on the chessboard and bring you through. Hallelujah. But it's also a challenge where we have to say, Lord, I'm going to bow the knee to you. You're my king and you're my Lord. Hallelujah. And so Christmas reminds us of these things, that we appear, we live between these two appearing of our king, as I conclude in the last minute. We look back in amazement at the greatest king who died in the most shameful way. We look back at that and say, my goodness, Lord, you died in the most shameful way. as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we look ahead to His glorious return. Behind us is King Jesus in humiliation, and ahead of us, we wait for Jesus, the King of Glory, to come. Spurgeon says, if you do not hide in His wounds when He comes as the Savior, there'll be no hiding place for you when He comes as the Judge. And so this morning, I would urge you, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Hide in His wounds. Say, Lord, I need You. You died for weak people like me. I don't have my act together. Humble yourself. And come to Christ. And He will lift you up. And He'll change your life. And He'll cleanse you of your sins. And He'll give you new life. There's some of you here today, you don't really know the Lord. And He's inviting you to come. And to become Lord of your life. And that's the greatest Christmas gift you could ever, ever unwrap. You unwrap Jesus. You keep unwrapping Him. You find He's just amazing. He's amazing. For us, for many, the real story of Christmas is hidden. But for us, it has been revealed. And it's been revealed in Jesus, our King. Can you say amen? Lord Jesus, we just thank You so much. Just thank Him as You sit there. Thank You so much, Lord, that You have revealed Yourself to us. And Lord, as we open other presents today, and we eat probably too much, we want to thank You, Lord, that at the back of our minds and in the depths of our hearts, we know, Lord, that we've already unwrapped the greatest gift that we could ever receive. And we just say thank You, Lord. And Lord, I pray for those here today who don't know You yet. They know about You, but they don't know You. Lord, I pray You'd open their eyes, that You would not be hidden, but that You would be revealed. In Jesus' name we pray.